The title of my message today is, What Shall I Do with Jesus? That's a question that all of us need to ask. And some of us here have made a decision about Jesus. We've figured out what we're going to do with Jesus. But there are still multitudes in our nation that have no idea what they are going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go through the Bible, you will find there are numbers of people that have made decisions for Jesus, and they told others about their decisions. I think of one man, and his name was John the Baptist. He previously made a decision about Jesus, but at the River Jordan, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. The Apostle Paul made a decision about the Lord Jesus. And you remember when he made his decision, he was on the road to Damascus and he was going to persecute Christians. And he heard the voice of Jesus. And Paul's life was changed there on the road to Damascus. And later on he wrote his epistles. And in the book of Romans he said, But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible is full of people that have made decisions for the Lord Jesus. Peter the fisherman made a decision. Peter said this, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what a decision he made, and what an effect it had on his life as he testified for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we know also that there are ladies in the Bible that made decisions about the Lord Jesus. And I think of two, especially today, Mary and Martha, those two sisters. And you'll remember the Lord Jesus, they showed hospitality to the Lord Jesus in their home. And the Bible says about these two sisters in Luke 10:38, Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Mary had made a decision to worship the Lord Jesus and a decision to hear his words. Well, the Bible also talks about her sister Martha in John chapter 11. Martha made a decision for Jesus. And Martha in John chapter 11 heard Jesus say these words. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And this is Martha's answer. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. The Bible is full of people that have made decisions for the Lord Jesus. The Bible shows us also that there are people that, when confronted with making a decision for Jesus, that they actually reject him. Imagine the Word that became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Imagine the Lord Jesus doing miracles in front of people, preaching the Word in front of people, and yet people rejecting Jesus. Well, our passage today talked about a man that had to make a decision about the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that man was Pilate. And Pilate was forced to make a decision about Jesus Christ. Now, if you know the history of Pilate, he was the Roman governor of Judah and of Jerusalem. And prior to the crucifixion of Jesus, the Lord Jesus was brought to Pilate's place, and Pilate sat in judgment upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible tells us in Matthew 27, verse 1, When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him,
they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Matthew 27:12 says, "And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing." That's the Lord Jesus. He answered nothing. Now in verse 22, Pilate asks a question that every single person needs to ask when they're confronted with the reality of the Lord Jesus. You see that in verse 22? This is Pilate's question. "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Faced with a decision about Jesus, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Now the word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, which means anointed one. Jesus Christ was God's chosen son who came to deliver us from the power and the penalty of sin. And one day, if you trusted Christ, you'll be delivered from the presence of sin. Isn't it wonderful to know that you're delivered from the power of sin and the penalty of sin, and one day the very presence of sin? The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to ask you, have you ever asked the question, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" What shall I do with Jesus? The Christ is the anointed one. The Christ is the Messiah. What shall I do with Jesus, the Son of God? What shall I do with Jesus, the anointed one? What shall I do with Jesus, God's holy Messiah? Now, Pilate, on that Passover morning, asked the right question. But he was wrongly influenced by the majority. Do you know that there are plenty of people that have come to the crossroads in their life faced with making a decision about Jesus? To believe in Jesus, to follow Jesus, or to reject Jesus? There are many people that come to that crossroads, and Pilate was at such a crossroads. Jesus stood before Pilate for judgment, but one day in the future, Pilate is going to stand before Jesus for judgment. Now, why do I say that? Well, I believe, you know, unless he confessed Christ on his deathbed, Pilate's in hell today. And he's awaiting the judgments. And one day he'll stand before King Jesus. The Bible tells us the fate of the unsaved. Those that reject the Lord Jesus are one day going to be standing before him. And that'll be at the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20 verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Now, these are the unsaved of the ages. They are standing before God. Pilate will be there. "And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." There's going to be one day where those that have rejected Jesus Christ as Saviour are going to stand before the great white throne judgment. They'll stand before the King, and Jesus will pronounce judgment on them, and they'll go into the lake of fire. Pilate sentenced the king. But one day, the king will sentence Pilate. Now, if you're a Christian, you don't appear before the great white throne judgment. Why? Well, our sins have been dealt with. If you've accepted Jesus as Saviour, you have a free pardon. You are free from the penalty of your sins, and you can go to heaven. That's the good news of the gospel. All we have to do is believe that there is a Saviour that died for us, that we are sinners and we need a Saviour, and Christ is the only Saviour. If you're a Christian, you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to be judged for your sins, but to be judged for your rewards. You see, every believer is going to be rewarded. And we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14:10 says, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God." I'm going to give an account for my Christian life to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to give an account for my time, my talents and my treasure in how I've used them for the Lord Jesus Christ. I will give an account, and you will give an account also before the judgment seat of Christ. Do you know all judgment is committed to the Son? The Bible says in John 5:22, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." Now, Pilate had a choice that day. The crowd had a choice that day as well. The choice really was crown him for the crowd. It was either crown him or crucify him. And what did they choose? They chose to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you come to Matthew 27, you find out that it was a custom for Pilate at Passover to release a prisoner. I don't know if you saw the President of the United States before he left office. He spent a little time writing out pardons for people before he left. Donald Trump was writing out pardons. Well, it was a custom back in these days for the Roman governor to give a pardon to a prisoner at Passover. And before Pilate was two choices. One was Jesus, the most perfect, beautiful man that has ever walked this earth. And one was a notorious criminal called Barabbas. And who did the Jews choose? They chose the guilty one. They chose Barabbas over the Lord Jesus. I wonder how Barabbas felt that day. Barabbas was probably looking that I'll be on one of those three crosses at Calvary. And yet an innocent man takes his place and goes and dies on the cross of Calvary, and Barabbas is set free. You know, we're all Barabbases. We're all guilty. We're all notorious before the throne of heaven. We've all sinned against God. But the great news of the gospel is that one has taken our place. And he's the perfect one, the Lord Jesus. And the moment you accept Christ as Saviour, you're given the righteousness of God. God looks at you as clean. That's the beautiful news of the gospel. Matthew 27:20, "But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, 'Which of the two do you want me to release to you?' They said, 'Barabbas.' Pilate said to them, 'What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?' They all said to him, 'Let him be crucified.' Then the governor said, 'Why? What evil has he done?' But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Pilate had to make a decision. Pilate on that day had a number of voices speaking to him. And we see first here, it is the voice of the crowds. The voice of the crowd influences Pilate's decision. And the crowd who rejected Jesus were fools in Jesus' day. And the crowd that rejects Jesus today are fools. The Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Multitudes and multitudes, when faced with the reality and the history of the Lord Jesus, today in our nation, reject him. Pilate listened to the voices of the crowds, and Pilate made a foolish decision. You know, there is so much evidence today for the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that you would be a fool to reject him. Dr. James Allen Francis wrote this of Jesus. He was an itinerant preacher. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of human history and the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that have ever marched, and all the navies that have ever sat, and all the parliament that have ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man on earth as much as that one solitary life. He's talking about the life of the Lord Jesus. Do you know that there are more books? Do you know that more books have been written about Jesus than any other person in history? Do you know that more songs have been written about Jesus than any other person in history? He is the central figure of human history. There have been more movies made about the Lord Jesus than any other person in history. There have been more paintings painted in regards to Jesus than any other person in human history. Despite the life and the death and resurrection of Jesus, multitudes have ignored him throughout history. The crowd was wrong about Jesus. And when you think about Australia today, the majority of people today are wrong about the Lord Jesus. If they were right about the Lord Jesus, our church today and every church would be filled to the brim with people coming in thanks for a Saviour that has died for us. Pilate listened to the voices of his day. He listened to the crowds. Well, there was another voice, and that was the voice of the clergy. The clergy in Pilate's day. The people that were the religious authorities. And Pilate heard their voices. And Pilate heard their verdicts. And Pilate was influenced also by them. The crowds and the clergy. When I was growing up, I would be taken by Mum. I'd be going to the church for Good Friday. But on those Good Friday days and on the couple of days later, the Resurrection Sunday, I never ever heard the Catholic clergy say that I needed to be saved. I never heard them pronounce the gospel clearly. So as a young boy or as a young teenager, that I could be saved.
There is clergy all around the world today in churches and in cathedrals and in wonderful looking buildings proclaiming that they know God, but in fact they don't know God. And that was the case in Jesus' day. Instead of crowning him as their Messiah, they were quite happy along with the crowd to let the Lord Jesus be crucified. You know, when I think of the Christmas story and I think of the clergy, the religious people, at the time of the birth of Jesus, who was it that rushed down to Bethlehem? It was the simple shepherds. It wasn't the scribes or the chief priests that made a rush down to Bethlehem to see the Saviour. Sometime later, wise men come into Jerusalem. And Herod calls out the clergy. And they turn to Micah and they tell Herod exactly where the Saviour is going to be born. Because the wise men came to Jerusalem looking for the King of the Jews. Well, the wise men go off and they come to the house and they find the Lord Jesus, but we don't read of any religious authorities that made a search for the Lord Jesus. Pilate made a mistake. He listened to the voice of the crowd. He listened to the voice of the clergy, Matthew 27:12. And while he was being accused, this is Jesus being accused, by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" The clergy testified against the Lord Jesus. And Pilate heard it. They were false witnesses. They influenced Pilate just as the crowds influenced Pilate. Well, there was another voice that Pilate heard that day, and it was the voice of a companion. He heard the voice of the crowds, he heard the voice of the clergy, and now he hears the voice of a companion. Who am I talking about? Well, probably the most closest companion to Pilate, and it was his wife. And his wife sent a message to him. And Pilate should have listened to his wife. Matthew 27:19. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, this is Pilate's wife, "Have nothing to do with that just man. For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Now, Pilate was warned by his companion. He was warned by his wife. And she had a dream. And she was troubled in a dream. And her dream was about Jesus. And she says he was a just man. And she was so troubled by the dream, she got someone to deliver a message when Pilate was right in the middle of his judgment of Jesus. I can imagine a servant rushing in, gold in his hand. "Mr. Pilate, Mr. Pilate, Mrs. Pilate's got a message for you. You've got to read it." And he reads it. "Have nothing to do with this just man." You know, I believe that Pilate's wife received a message from God. And Pilate's wife acted on that message. But Pilate ignored his wife. I'm sure there's no men here that ignore their wives. I'm sure that all the wives here would say that, yes, when we say things that are important, our husbands, they take notice straight away. Just ask Judy sitting up the back there. No, don't ask her. If you're a believer,
and you're married, and you're the husband, you are to be the head of the home. But God has given us our wives as helpmates, as companions. And we should be willing to listen to godly women. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Verse 25, strength and honour are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Pilate had a companion. It was his wife. Now, Pilate listened to the crowds and he made a mistake. But Pilate listened to the clergy's accusation of the Lord Jesus and he made a mistake. But God gave him a chance. God gave him a wife whom God spoke to through a dream, and the good bit of advice that he got on that day, he ignored it. Well, there was another voice that Pilate heard. And the voice that Pilate heard was conscience. Conscience. We all have a conscience. And God uses that conscience to convict us of our sin, to convict us of our wrong directions. God uses conscience. Now, Pilate, over the years, being a Roman governor, had probably seared his conscience, maybe even killed his conscience to a certain degree. But he still had some conscience left. Look at the Bible. Luke 23, verse 20. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. Why was he wishing to release Jesus? He had a conscience. But they shouted, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Then he said to them the third time, why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. It shows me that he had a hardened conscience. He was willing to have a just and perfect man tortured and whipped. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison, but he delivered Jesus to their will. So he releases Barabbas. Matthew 27:24. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. He washes his hands. His wife has sent a message that Jesus was a just person, and now his conscience is speaking to him again that Jesus is innocent. Pilate had a conscience. Pilate wanted to release Jesus. He was convinced that Jesus was innocent. Conscience spoke loud to Jesus that day. You know, Pilate, instead of washing his hands, could have had his sins washed away. You ever thought about that? He made the mistake of washing his hands. But if he'd come to Jesus, his sins would have been washed away. The hymn writer wrote this: "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Well, there was one other voice that spoke to Pilate. We had the voice of the crowd. We had the voice of the clergy. We had the voice of a companion, his wife. We had the inner voice of conscience. And now we have the voice of Christ. Jesus Christ, the living God, the great I Am, the Word who became flesh, stood in the judgment hall before Pilate. Pilate witnesses God in the flesh. Pilate hears the words of God in the flesh. Pilate hears the condemnation of the crowds against God in the flesh. But Jesus speaks. Jesus said before Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." There was the voice of Christ. And I wonder, have you heard the voice of Jesus through his word? Have you heard the voice of Jesus as you picked up and you've read the Bible? Have you heard the voice of Jesus in the preaching of the word? I hope you have. And I hope you've been convicted that Jesus is King, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the one that delivers us from our sins. Pilate asked a question. What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Would you crown Jesus, or would you crucify Jesus? You know, we're all guilty, just like Pilate, of the death of Jesus Christ. It was for my sins and your sins that Jesus went to Calvary. It was for my sins and your sins that he allowed the Romans to nail his hands to the old rugged cross. It was for my sins and your sins that he allowed the crowds to mock him. It was for my sins and your sins he allowed his blood to be spilt so that we can have the cleansing that Jesus provides. Horatio Spafford said, "My sin, oh, the glitz of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul." Albert Simpson wrote a hymn, and Albert said this: "What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" I want to ask you, if you're not sure of heaven, what are you going to do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Are you going to crown him, or would you like to be like the others that would crucify him, that would reject him? I want to ask you, if you're a Christian, what will you do with Jesus? Today? Tomorrow? Next week? Do you ask the Lord Jesus, Jesus, what would I do for you today and tomorrow? Because I've got a message that will change lives. I've got a message that will take people from sadness to joy. What will you do for Jesus? Or what will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ, the Son of the living God? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Father, we just thank you so much for the good news of the gospel. And we thank you, Lord, that people are confronted in our day and age with the good news of the gospel, and people are still making decisions for the Lord Jesus. And Lord, would you bless our work here, the work of our brothers and sisters in this church, as we seek to win the lost. Help us to dull the voices of the multitude that would stop us in making profitable decisions for the Lord Jesus day by day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.